Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Let's go ahead and open up with a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together. And Father, we don't take it lightly. We thank you, Lord God, that tonight as your word comes forth, Lord, your word is powerful and it contains everything that we need to bring healing into our bodies. Father, we thank you because you are good to us. You are faithful to us. And Lord, we thank you that your healing power is already at work within us and around us as well, Lord God, touching every other person in this room. Father, we thank you for your word, that it's going to fall on the good soil of our hearts and produce a hundredfold return in our bodies, in our minds, and in our lives. And we thank you for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, if you have your Bible, let's hold our Bible up, make our confession tonight. And let's say it like we mean it. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's word to me.
It's God's word to me.
Oh, man. What's that? I know. Yeah. I took a gulp. My allergies are kicking up, and I'm like, no, no, no. Am I the only one whose allergies are messing up? All right, let's try this again. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. And I love to read my Bible. Amen. That was funny. As I take a drink of water, just a couple of things. Next week, we do not have class. We are preparing for Easter, so we will not have class, but we will be back the following week. And the exciting thing about that is the word of God that we received tonight, the word we received last week and the week before, we can take that with us and continue to meditate on it and read it and get it in us and stronger than ever before. And then when you come back, you're just going to be raring to go for what God's going to teach you next in our class. The other thing is just a reminder, we do record these classes. And so if you would help us and just silence your cell phones, that way it's not disruptive to those around you. And that way we don't get the phone call on the recording as well. So thank you for that. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. I may. I'll see if I can do that. Yes. All right. A few weeks ago when I talked a little bit about hindrances to our faith. I talked about how things like doubt and fear, how unbelief and unforgiveness, how unconfessed sins and willful sins could hinder us in our faith. One of the things I wanted to start out talking about tonight is the fact that not having or not listening to God's word is something else that can hinder our faith. Hosea 4:6 says this. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It's what you don't know that hurts you. And sometimes we do reject God's word. And that's not helpful for us either. So how can we tell that we do not have enough of God's word on the inside of us? If you find yourself easily shaken by circumstances, by a diagnosis, if you find yourself being inconsistent in faith, being double-minded, I'm believing God today and then tomorrow I'm in doubt and unbelief. If you find yourself driven by emotions, you get emotional when you hear things, when you hear bad news or when you hear other people dealing with the same thing, your emotions get in the way. If you lack spiritual direction, and if you have a difficulty hearing from God. And so what it does to our faith is it leaves our faith weak and unstable. It makes us vulnerable to doubt and unbelief, and it keeps us spiritually underdeveloped. Now, one of the things that I want to make sure that we understand when I talked about hindrances a few weeks ago, when I talk about not having enough of the Word of God, sometimes when we hear these things and we identify, yeah, I struggle in this area, We get down on ourselves. We condemn ourselves. Here's the thing I love. Scripture says in 1 John 1:9. Let's turn to 1 John 1:9 in your Bible. It's not in your notes. I think it's important for us to always remember this. Because sometimes we are going to give in to the emotion. Sometimes we will lose sight. But the Bible is very clear for us here. And I'm going to read from the ESV version. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we can get off. Sometimes we can give into the emotion, give into the fear, give into the doubt. It's when we recognize it and what we do about it, that's a determining factor. When you recognize that you've gotten off, that you've gone down a trail embracing and entertaining the fear, the doubt, the unbelief, the Bible tells us that once that recognition happens, if you will simply say, you know what, Lord, forgive me, I've gotten off, and change directions, his promise is that he is faithful and just to forgive us of that. Forgive us for getting off, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin separates us from God. Doubt and unbelief, it's a sin. Unforgiveness and bitterness, it's a sin. Doing what God told you not to do, it's a sin. Not doing what God has told you to do, it's a sin. But God tells us he will forgive us of those sins. And we have to understand that God's forgiveness is not like our forgiveness. I hear this a lot now from a lot of Christians and in a lot of churches. Well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. That's not godly forgiveness. Because God tells us in his scriptures that when he forgives, he wipes the slate clean. Anybody, make sure, I got people my age or older. There was this toy, if you want to call it a toy, where you would draw on this thing, and after you drew a while, you could take the top sheet and pull it up, and it would just wipe it clean. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, thank you. I don't feel old. All right. Well, I would spend all day just doodling, drawing, making pictures, and then when I got tired of what I was looking at, I would just pull it up and start again. That's forgiveness. When you go to God and repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I've entertained this fear. I've entertained this doubt and unbelief far too long. Lord, forgive me. True repentance means you are now turning in the opposite direction. And you're saying, God, I trust you. I believe your word. And I know healing is operating inside of me. I know that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And now you're walking reconnected in freedom and in forgiveness. Does that make sense? And so don't walk in condemnation. Don't stay there. But we want to confess those sins. So this is where I want to go. I want to talk about the fact that there's a healing in the words of God. There's a healing in his words. So look at your neighbor and tell them there's a healing in his words. If you don't have a neighbor, you can look at me and tell me. Let's say it one more time. Say there's a healing in his words. So there's this guy in 2 Kings, his name is Naaman. And Naaman was a great man, and he'd gone and led the armies, and he'd conquered a foreign land and brought back a captive, a young girl who knew the things of God and knew about God. And the thing about Naaman was, is Naaman struggled with leprosy. And it's interesting because this girl was a servant girl to his wife, and she spoke to the wife one day and said, you know, if only my master would know the Lord, the prophet who is in Israel, he could be healed. And so to make a long story short, Naaman goes to the king. The king grants him approval to go and find out this prophet. And when Naaman ends up coming to Elisha, Elisha gives him instructions. And so let's look at the passage here on your notes in 2 Kings 5, starting in verse 9. It says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" And so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. There's a healing in his words. I love this because the servants are like, man, just do what he said to do. Just be obedient. Just listen. And we have to tell ourselves that. That when God tells us to do something, just do it. But did you catch this? It said, so he went down, dipped 7 times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, not like it was, but like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Do you know that when you are obedient to God's words, God will do beyond your expectations? Ephesians 3:20, I would just write this down. You don't have to turn there. It says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could dare ask or think. The Derek translation is God will blow your mind with what he will do with your obedience. That's the kind of God we serve. If you will simply listen to his words, God will heal you and so much more. There's another story found in Matthew. It's about the centurion servant. It's found in Matthew chapter 8, 5:13. So here in your notes it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Now I want to stop there because we have to understand this for all of us. Maybe you come from backgrounds like I did. We need to settle within ourselves this one thing. Jesus here says, "I will come." You and I need to know that God is willing. He's always willing. God is a willing God. He always wants to be there for you when it comes to healing. All right? Verse 8 says, then the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who had followed him, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. They will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth." And then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Do we really understand the power and the authority that lies in God's words? I know for a season I could say no. Think about it for a minute. The words of God, his words. The Bible tells us that his words created the heavens and the earth. The words of God. We see all throughout the New Testament where God brought healing through words. The words of God. We see where Jesus casted out demons with his word. And his word has done so much more, and it will do so much more for you and I. And so we have to understand that when it comes to the words of Jesus, his words have purpose. In Psalm 107:20, it says, he sent his word and he heals them and rescues them from the pit of destruction. He sent his word to heal, to rescue. And so his word has purpose in it, but not only purpose, his word carries power as well. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it." His word works. It will work. It will work for you. It will work for your situation. And the promise is it's not going to return void. That word void means empty or without effect. We could say that his promises, his word, are always effective. Every word the Lord speaks is intentional and will achieve the desired results. And so we need to understand that his scriptures, his word in the area of healing is reliable. Just as it was effective in the scriptures, it's still effective today. His word works. I love Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. It says, every word of God proves true. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Every word of God proves true. God's word is powerful and it is purposeful. And then Proverbs 4, 20 and 22 says this, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health and healing to all of their flesh. It says, be attentive. He's encouraging us, don't be distracted. Lock into God's word. Keep your focus on God's word. And just as natural medicine does its work on the inside, allow God's word to do its work on the inside. When we're prescribed natural medicine, we read a label. The label says, all right, take two each day with water. And so we just do that until the bottle's empty, right? But then you come to healing class. And the guy with the big mouth, Derek, tells you, only believe. And you're like, well, I believe yesterday, nothing happened. You have to let the word work. When you take the pills and they're on the inside of your body, do you see the pills? But you don't question whether or not they're going to work. When the word of God comes in, you need to say to yourself, the word of God's at work on the inside of me, bringing about a healing and a cure. The Lord's making the crooked places in my body straight. Everything is lining up. Everything is functioning the way it should function. Let the word of God do its work in you. Let God's words work for you. You know, this scripture really helped me in a dark time. I've said this at least once a semester, this story about when we first got here and I was having panic attacks, anxiety, couldn't sleep, agitated, frustrated, and it was just getting worse and worse. My kids didn't want to be around me. My wife didn't want to be around me. I was just not sleeping, always fearful. And, you know, it got to the point where my wife said, you're going to have to do something. You need to go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and I'm sitting there, and the doctor starts asking me questions, and so I go down the list of everything that I'm struggling with. And the doctor's typing on his laptop. He never once looks me in the face. He's just typing. And in 15 minutes, he goes, you know what? I got it. You're clinically depressed. I'll be right back. I'm like, I'm clinically depressed. Goes out the room, comes back in the room, has a bag full of pills, says, take these for the next 2 weeks. Come back. We'll see if we need to readjust, and then we'll go from there. So I go home. Walk in with my bag full of pills. My wife says, well, how did it go? I said, well, the doctor says I'm depressed. And she says, what does that mean? I said, well, the doctor says I'm depressed. I guess I'm depressed. And she says, well, what does Jesus say? And then walks out of the room. And at first I thought, man, that's kind of dirty. You're going to throw out Jesus' name. I'm trying to tell you I'm struggling here. But she's right. What does Jesus say? Because in that moment, in that time, I was not thinking or listening to his word. I was listening to a man. And it caused me to go internal. And so I happened to open my Bible up and I stumbled on a scripture found in 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when I heard that phrase, sound mind, it just went off like bells on the inside of me. And I said, sound mind. God's given me a sound mind. He's given me soundness of mind. That means my mind is always calm. It's not racing like it always is. That means if God's given me soundness of mind, there's no room for panic attacks. That means if I have soundness of mind, I shouldn't be anxious all the time. And so I began to focus and be attentive to God's word. And his word says soundness of mind. And I just stayed there nonstop. I have soundness of mind. I have soundness of mind. When the situations that would come upon me that caused me to go into a panic attack, when I would feel that same feeling, I'd say, nope, I have soundness of mind. What am I doing? I am locking in and I am focusing on his words because my healing, what I need, is in his words. Then, as I'm locking on that scripture, I heard, or there was a message where I was reading, and I heard that God gives his beloved sweet and precious sleep, because in that time I wasn't sleeping. And I was like, wait, if he gives me sweet and precious sleep, then why am I awake every night? And so I began to lock in and focus on that scripture that God gives his precious, I mean, he gives his beloved sweet and precious sleep. And I began to personalize it. Lord, thank you that you give me sweet, precious sleep. That my sleep comes from you. That when I lay my head on that pillow, I am out, Lord. And what am I doing? I'm attentive and I'm locking in and I'm focusing on his word. Well, guys, his word works. And it wasn't a couple of weeks later that my wife she was like elbowing me because she said I was snoring so loud the neighbors could hear me. What happened? I tuned into his words and I did exactly what he said. I focused. I was attentive to his words and it brought healing to my mind, healing to me personally. So we want to be attentive to God's word. We want to lock in to God's word. We want to get more of his word on the inside of us. And so here's some practical ways. This is healing class, and so I'm always going to give you practical ways. Practical ways to get more of God's word in us so we can tune in. We need to commit to daily time with the Lord. A commitment. That every day, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I was talking to a young man today. It looks different for everybody, so don't look to the left or to the right, but every day, make your commitment with the Lord. Every day I read Bible 365 personally. I read some other scriptures, but I start my day off. I have the Bible app, and I always open it up. What's the scripture for the day? And look at that scripture, and then I go make my tea, and then I go back and do Bible 365. But that's my commitment every day. What's your commitment? The other thing I tell people that when we read the Bible, it should not be a sprint. It should not be where we want to check the box. I did it. Pastor Allen, I read Bible 365. It shouldn't be about that. No, we should slow down. Take our time. Because the Lord wants to speak to us. And so with that, I always tell people, you ought to try this. And it's something that I learned years ago, actually from Pastor Allen. And it's called the SOAP method. It's something that's very helpful because it helps me to intentionally slow down and look at the scriptures in a different way. And so I start my time off with the Lord like this. Lord, I thank you that in this time that I sit down, you're going to speak to me. You're going to give me clarity. You're going to give me wisdom for me. Then I start reading. And as I read, if there is a scripture or a passage that resonates with me, that stands out, I stop. I write that scripture or that passage down. Scripture. Then the O stands for observation. What is this passage saying to me? Oh, Derek, you need to forgive Gia. I don't want to forgive Gia, but the scripture says you need to forgive Gia. Okay, so the scripture is telling me I need to forgive Gia. Now, the A stands for application. How am I going to apply this? Okay, Gia, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Okay. So now I'm applying what I read, what I wrote down, I'm applying that, and then the P is for prayer. Lord, thank you for helping me to always remember that there's nothing fruitful in walking in unforgiveness. It's personal. Now when I walk away, I've spent quality time with the Lord, and the Lord in that time has spoken to my heart. And so we want to slow down, take our time, and allow the Lord to speak to us, and this SOAP method is something that helps us. Then, we want to speak the word out loud. Speak it out loud. What's the Lord giving you? Well, the Lord gave me, he'd not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So I began walking. I have soundness of mind. Doctor called and said, hey, Mr. Thompson, how you doing? How's your depression going on? I said, I don't have depression. I have soundness of mind. He goes, what? I said, I don't have depression. I have soundness of mind. He says, well, did you take the pills? I said, no. I got in the Word of God, and the Word of God says that I have soundness of mind. He goes, are you okay, Mr. Thompson? I said, yes. He goes, that's all I need. And he hung up the phone. Well, in that moment, I could care less of what he thought about me because I know the Word of God works. And so we want to speak out the word of God over ourselves. Then we want to meditate on it throughout the day. It's not just a one-shot thing. You want to dwell there. You want to take the word in and just continue to go over it and over it and over it to get everything that you need out of the word of God. And then make sure you're applying it. Application is huge. Apply it as the Lord leads you. And so the word of God works. And God wants to do some things in our lives. But I believe for all of us, or for a lot of us, when it comes to sickness and disease, when it comes to diagnosis, we struggle with the truth sometimes because of the wealth of information we get from social media, from the internet, from articles. If you do like I do sometimes, which is not wise, and you go on WebMD and Google everything, that'll cause you to struggle sometimes. And in doing that, I believe that we actually embrace the wrong things. The Bible says that healing is made available to all of us, that by the stripes of Jesus, we're all healed. But most of us grow up believing that there's no cure for cancer, that there are diseases that you can live manageably with if you're okay. There's medicines that you can use to sustain you, and you're good. But if you read the scriptures all through, it says Jesus went about healing every disease, not certain ones. And so, this next part, I want to read a story to you. I thought it was an interesting story. It's about a guy named John Thompson. And the story goes like this. It says, there's a true story about a man named John Thompson who powerfully illustrates how we should respond when something is declared over us and over our lives that isn't true. It says, John Thompson was wrongfully convicted of crimes he did not commit, not because of evidence, but because evidence was hidden. The system declared him guilty, and the verdict sent him to death row. For 18 years, he lived under the sentence that was never meant for him. And now here's what was important. John could have accepted that verdict. He could have said, well, this is what they said. This is must be my reality, but he didn't. He fought the verdict. Even when time passed, even when the system said case closed, even when death was on the calendar, he kept contending for the truth, because in his heart of hearts, he knew he was innocent. And just weeks before his execution, hidden evidence surfaced. The wrong verdict was overturned, and John Thompson walked out a free man, not because he became innocent, but because he always was innocent. So in this story, he was wrongfully convicted. Evidence was hidden. He was sentenced to death. He spent 18 years in prison, 14 of which were on death row. And weeks before his execution, he was set free. One of the things I love about this story is he didn't become innocent the day he was released. He was always innocent. The verdict just didn't match the truth. Sometimes these verdicts that are given out, it's similar to a diagnosis. A diagnosis comes, a report spoken, the symptoms show up, and it feels final. But in Isaiah, we see differently. Isaiah 53, 3 and 5, it says, surely. What does surely mean? What's that? Surely. Surely means surely. What else does surely mean? Absolutely. Definitely. Okay, here we go. Anything else? For certain. Surely. This happened, okay? He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the truth. The diagnosis, that's not the truth. You're actually free, healed. But your body's trying to tell you something different. That word surely, just as you said, It carries a meaning of assurance, of confidently, without a doubt. And so we have to know that without a doubt, that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. If we need further evidence, you find that in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed." That's the truth. That's the reality. So there are two verdicts that you can live under. The natural report, meaning whatever the symptoms say, whatever the diagnosis is, whatever the doctors say, that has the final word. Or you can live by the finished work of Jesus. That healing is already paid for. That by his stripes, you and I were healed. Notice, I love that. In one of the passages, it says we were healed. That's past tense. It's already happened. It's already established. In this man's life, the court said he was guilty, but the truth said he was innocent. And so the question is, what verdict will we agree with? The diagnosis or the truth? I think about this because there are wrong diagnoses, wrong words that are spoken over people many times. And just because the wrong words are speaking over us doesn't mean it's the truth. We don't get to decide what the truth is. The Word of God tells us what the truth is. And so that's why we need to focus on the fact that there's healing in His words. There's truth in His words. And always be attentive to His words. Does that make sense? I'm getting older now, so I don't remember what year it was. But I remember I was still playing basketball, and we had a AAU tournament, and we played basketball against some people who were very good, went on to do some great things in Dallas, Texas, and we'd gotten all the way to the final game and got beat very good. And we were on our way back, and I was in the backseat of the car with my best friend and two other guys, and their mother and father were the ones driving the vehicle we were in. Well, they were elders in our church, and I always looked up to them because they had they were a great family. They looked the part, they spoke the part, and she was always just speaking the Word of God. And this particular day on our way back, she turned around and she says, "The Lord's been speaking to me about you boys." And she looked at one of her boys and she said, his name was Sean. "Sean, the Lord's going to do great and mighty things in your life. He's going to bless you. You're going to be gifted." And then she looked at her other son. His name was Bird. Or they called him Bird. I don't know what his real name was. Anyways, she spoke over him and she said, "You know, your family is going to do great and mighty things. The Lord's hand is going to be upon you." And then she looked at my best friend David and she goes, "David, God's going to do miraculous things. He's going to take you far and do amazing things in your life." And then she looks at me and she goes, "Derek, I see prison bars in your future." And she says, "That's all I got." And then she turns around. I'm like, "Really? We still got 2 hours to get back to San Antonio. What am I going to do with that?" Well, that struck me. And for 2 hours, I'm sitting there thinking, what's wrong with me? What did I do? Why would God tell me that? And I struggled with it. I got home, went straight to my room. And I struggled with it. And in this time in my life, I wasn't reading the Word. To be honest with you, at that time, I could care less about the Word. I was prioritizing sports and girls and everything else, and that was my life. But those words hurt. They struck me. Because it's like, God, what have I done to deserve a pronouncement like that? And this particular night, the Bible that I hadn't picked up in a very long time, I picked it up and I opened it. I couldn't tell you what anything was in the Old Testament or New Testament at that time. But it happened to fall into a book called Jeremiah. And it was Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I happened to read it for the very first time in a very personal way. And it says, "I know the plans that I have for you, and the Lord is my witness." In that moment, I actually heard my name in my head, Derek. plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And it shook me. I thought, what does this mean? Like, and I began talking to God, like, God, does this mean you have good plans for my life? That something can come about this, that I don't actually have to end up in prison? Didn't hear any audible voice again. But I made a decision in that room that day. I said, you know what? I don't know what all this means. But God, if this is true, if this is what your word says, then I'm going to believe that you have a future and a hope for me, that I don't have to end up with prison bars, that I can do good, that I can end up somewhere that you're in it. And I made that commitment to myself. Well, I guess the plus side of that conversation in that car was I got serious about my relationship with God. And I went all in. And I began to read his word and find out, you know what? God's made provision for us. God has good plans for us, good things in store for us. I became attentive to his words and not hers. And please don't think I'm boasting. But all I will say is, of the four men, young men who were in the backseat of the car, I am the only one who was not incarcerated, and I'm one of two who are still living on the earth today. The difference was I went all in and became attentive to God's word and focused in on his words, and they did not. I'm no better than anybody or anything else. God's word works. And so we don't buy in to the wrong verdict, the bad diagnosis. We buy in to what the word of God says. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, it's the story where God tells the children of Israel to go into the land that he's giving them. He tells them it's a good land flowing with milk and honey. And when they come out, 12 spies come out, they come back. 10 come out with a bad report, but Joshua and Caleb give a good report. And because of the bad report, most everyone else buys into the bad report. And the story goes on to tell us that all of those who don't buy into what God said, they buy into the bad report, they never have the opportunity to enter into what God had made available. In fact, they perished in the wilderness. The children of Israel accepted the wrong report. God actually told them, you can take the land, but they said, but we're like grasshoppers. They didn't lose because of giants. They lost because they agreed with the wrong verdict, the wrong words. So for us, we need to understand and embrace the fact that God says healing belongs to us. Healing is ours. This story about this man, John Thompson, it said, we saw where he didn't stop appealing. He didn't accept his sentence. He didn't adjust to prison life. He refused to build his life on a lie. And you and I need to refuse to build our life on a lie. You know, when I was thinking about this, it reminded me my favorite story in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood. I had to bring it out. I haven't brought it out yet. My favorite part is it says that, you know, she was struggling with this thing for 12 years. For me, that's somebody who's determined, somebody who has some grit about her, someone who knows that, you know what, nope, I'm not going to settle. And we can learn a lot from that story. It says that when she heard about Jesus, everything changed. And when you and I hear about Jesus, the fact that he's not only a savior, but he's also a healer, everything should change. Like, we should become determined that the final verdict is that I'm going to be healed once and for all. And you will. But I talk about her having grit, understanding this is a fight of faith, guys. Can't be passive. We're going to have to fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Faith is not passive. Faith actually resists, rejects, and replaces the lies with the truth. And the truth, again, is by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. That in Jeremiah 33:6, that God's healing power is at work on the inside of us. Nahum 1:9, that when the sickness leaves your body, it cannot return. We have to embrace the truth at all times. And so here's a couple of ways that we can fight. This is not in your notes, I don't believe, but you can write these down. I would say reject the wrong verdict. If someone's telling you that there's nothing that you can do or nothing that can be done, don't accept that. If someone tells you it runs in the family, don't accept that. Accept the truth that I am healed. Number two, you want to stand on the finished work. It is a finished work. It's done. It's paid for. Don't be like Derek. I struggle. I'm going to be honest with you. I struggle. We've been places where we were at a restaurant about 2 or 3 months ago, and we went to Papa Do's. I went to Papa Do's with my three kids, and I mean, we ate a lot of food. And the bill, I knew the bill was going to be very high, and I asked for the check, and the guy comes and says, it's paid for. I actually got mad. I actually got mad and told the waiter, I can pay for my own meal. And he looked at me. He said, sir, I can't do anything about it because it's already paid for. And he walked off. Well, that's pride on my part. But sometimes we act the same way when it comes to Christ. It's paid for. And so we feel like we have to strive and struggle and make it happen and make it. It's paid for. So stand on the fact that it's a finished work. And make sure, number three, you speak the truth consistently. Faith is refusing to agree with anything that disagrees with what Jesus finished. And so don't lose sight of what's already been accomplished for you and I. All right, let's land this plane. The cross is settled once and for all. Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says, and when evening came, they brought him many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. He showed his authority as Messiah so that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. At the cross, we're in Easter time, and so great time to remember the cross. At the cross, sin was dealt with. At the cross, sickness was carried away. At the cross, the price was paid in full. And at the cross, there's no doubt payment was made on our behalf. I love that part where it says sickness is carried away. It reminds me of, again, a story. I don't know if I've told it in here or in faith school, but I remember early on, it may not be easy for you to believe, but early on, I was a stick. And all the way to my 30s, and I don't know what happened. Maybe it was marriage and kids that you start gaining weight. I'm blaming it on that, not the cinnamon rolls that I eat. But we were at a small church in San Antonio. We were moving buildings, and I remember our pastor had this huge, this is the biggest desk I've ever seen, and it was made of this solid, thick wood. But he didn't want anyone in his office moving his things. He only wanted me and another guy, his name was Joseph, to help him with his furniture. And so we'd gotten everything out of the room, and we were ready to move the desk. And Joseph is a big guy. He's somewhere between 6'5 and 6'7, big guy. And Joseph was actually a former bodybuilder. So he's like 6'5, 6'7, like 300 plus pounds. And when Joseph wore a tank top, it looked like dental floss going down the back of his back. He was huge. But he was a soft, gentle giant. And he used to call me D. And I remember him saying, okay, D, on the count of three, we're going to lift. And he said, 1, 2, 3. And in that moment, all I remember was opening my eyes and the desk was on top of me because it was so heavy. And he was like, oh, no. And he goes over and he picks the desk up and he raises it over his head. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm looking at him like, why didn't you just pick it up by yourself the first time? And he says, I'll be back. And he walks out of the room with the desk over his head, puts it on the U-Haul and comes back up. Are you okay, buddy? And I'm mad at him like, this didn't even need to happen. Like, I got in the way. He could carry it, but I couldn't. It says he carried sickness away. Jesus could take it on, but we can't. So let him bear it. Don't embrace it. Don't hold on to it. If Jesus carried it, you don't have to keep carrying it. Healing, it belongs to you and me. All right, last thing here in your notes. This is just a personal declaration, I think, is good. Personal faith declaration. It says, my verdict is settled. So, humor me here. Let's all say this together. Say, today, I choose to agree with the Word of God. I declare that Jesus has already paid the price for my healing. According to Isaiah 53:5, by His stripes, I am healed. According to 1 Peter 2:24, I was healed. I reject every diagnosis that contradicts the finished work of Jesus. I will not settle into sickness. I will not build my life around symptoms. I will not agree with fear. I will fight the good fight of faith. I will stand on the truth. I will declare what God has already said. My body aligns with the Word. My life aligns with the cross. I walk in healing. I live in freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that? All right, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every single word that comes from your word. I thank you, Lord God, that healing is in your word. And as we become more attentive in the days ahead, as we lock in, as we focus on your word, Father, I thank you that our healing is going to produce and come forward in every body, in every situation, and in every case. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.